turn to Psalms, his dead center in the Bible. Psalm 19 is just to the left, a couple of pages. Psalm 118 is the middle, just for you trivia buffs. All right, but Psalm 19:1-9 is right there to the left. I want you to focus your attention on verse number 7, as we'll read responsively. That means I'll read the odd numbers out loud, and you will read the even numbers out loud. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. Otherwise, feel free to use your phone. Look what it says here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let us pray. Father, speak to us now as we look to your word. Help us, grow us, teach us. Father, if there's one among us today that if they died, they're not sure heaven's their home. They're not sure any of this is real. I ask, Father, you'd speak to their hearts specifically, convicting and convincing. And for us, your children who know you, Father, grow us in this area of biblical authority. We ask this in Jesus' name. So let's do a little Bible study for just a second. Look at verse number 7. In these verses, we're dealing with the actual Word of God. And we're talking about the written Word of God, that which God gave to Moses all the way up to this moment where David wrote this psalm, okay? But it applies to all 66 books of the Bible, Old and New Testament. The law of the Lord is perfect. Means it's correct. There's no imperfections in it. Converting the soul, as you'll see in a minute, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says that it's by the word of God, not the incorruptible seed, not by corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the word of God that we are saved. That's where we learn the gospel. It's in the Bible about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then it says the testimony of the Lord is sure. That means you can stand on it. You can take it to the bank. I'm telling you, it's real and it's true, and you can guarantee that it's right. The Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, the word simple in 1611 English did not mean stupid. What it means is you're still open to be convinced. You're just open. You're not hard set on this or yes or no. You're still open. If you'll show me the information and I'll make my own decision, I'm still open to make a decision, okay? Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We can rejoice that we have the Word of God in our language, and as we read it, it rejoices us to know that it's right and it's true. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's not been corrupted over time. It's pure. I love that. And it enlightens the eyes. It helps us see the world around us. Verse number 9, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I know many of you are carrying burdens today. I mean deep-seated burdens, and you don't think there's a way out. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, get into the Bible, get into the book of Psalms, and let God lift your soul. Let God encourage you, because he has not forgotten where you are. He is not oblivious to what you've gone through, and he'll lift you out of that. Now look here in verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It's so wonderful that God gives us boundaries. He's the original equipment manufacturer of the human being. He's given us the specifications manual. And we know that that he warns us of where there are things when we're outside of the boundaries. And I love that. And yea, I love the way he says this. And in keeping of them is great reward. God promised that if we would do what he told us, if we would obey, he would bless us. He would abundantly bless us. I love that. Who can understand his errors? I mean, we're sinners, and so much so we couldn't save ourselves that God had to send his son. How depth, we don't realize it until we read the Bible. The Bible has a way of reading you when you read it. It has a way of bringing all this out. And verse number 12, verse 13, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Help me to see when I'm acting willfully and rebellious because that's what I want to do. And when I'm hurting you like that, when I'm offending you, my father, and let them not have dominion over. Don't let these things that I do foolishly control my life. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That's the one that where I willfully do what I want against God and don't care. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's talking about the word of God and the effect the word of God can have in our life, but we have to let it. So if I were to ask you, how many Bibles do you have? How many Bibles do you have? Think about it. You know, you gotta think, right? There's one by the bedside. There's one in the restroom. There's one in the back seat of the car, underneath the back seat, with fries on ketchup on it. And then there's some in the glove box. And you think about it. The Barna Research Institute did a survey, and it said the average home in America has 9 Bibles in it. Why, you can get them for $1 at the dollar store. Did you know that? You can get them for $1 at the dollar store. We give them away for free if you want one. And it's a $425 million a year industry. Now, in 1 Samuel 3:1, the Bible was referred to as precious, that it was hard to come by, and that's really not our problem today. It's everywhere. If you have a smartphone, you can go out and grab a free app. Takarta is the one I use. I have YouVersion, Blue Sword, eSword, all that stuff. You can get it free Bibles. You can go to YouTube and listen to it as it reads it to you for free. It doesn't cost you a thing. We used to swear oaths on the Bible. We reference the Bible in our pop culture everywhere. But the lack of Bible knowledge in individual people has led to the rise of false teachers, cults, and really a great despising of Christianity all over the world. And it's true, the Bible has been used by people to enslave the illiterate or the ignorant, and they use it. They abuse what it says for their own personal gain, and that's caused a lot of people to think poorly and actually hate Christianity. Some people have despised it, like Diocletian, the Caesar. Some deny it, like Voltaire and Karl Marx. Others dilute it. Other preachers will take and water it down because nobody wants to be offensive anymore, because it's all about feelings. And others will dissect it all the way down to the nub so that they can make it say what they want. And others will just completely disregard it, like it doesn't matter. But why? Ask yourself, why believe the Bible is special? I mean, it seems silly to believe in the God of the Bible, but not read the book that tells us about the God in the Bible, right? Doesn't it seem kind of silly, right? I mean, now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is, coming up in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be teaching creation. And then I'm going to be dealing with the book of Daniel and prophecy and end times and things everybody wants to know about. But before I get there, we have to settle this issue. Is the Bible true? There's no point in going forward. If you don't believe it's true, if I can't show you, but really it's up to you to decide. When you think about it, how important is the Bible to God? In Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says that he has magnified his word above his name. See, in the Ten Commandments, you're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. It's sin, right? Well, he said, I've magnified my word above my name. Do you know why? Because if your word's no good, your name is no good. I want you to think about that for a second. Now, you know, you look at how important it is to God. Do you realize Satan hates this book? I mean, that alone ought to tell you it's worth reading. I mean, there's no other book like this one that's been banned, burned, and denied to people. You realize nobody in our society is trying to get Shakespeare out of the public forum, government, or schools. You realize that. Nobody's marching in the streets trying to get Homer or Nietzsche or Karl Marx out of the public school or the government. You realize that, right? It's just this one. Nobody's marching in the street to get rid of the other would-be holy books. But the word Christian means Christ-like. That's what it means. That's the very definition. We are Christ followers. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you call yourself a Christian and then don't do what I tell you to do? Now, I told you that the Bible's important to God because he elevates it above his name. I told you Satan hates it, right? But Jesus said that this book was true. He said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." That ought to be enough. I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to trust Jesus to save your soul and take you to heaven, why don't you trust him when he says this is the book you ought to read? And it's true. You know, nobody is debating whether the Homer's, where the Iliad or the Odyssey, which we have copies that date back to, what, 600 AD. Nobody's arguing their veracity or truthfulness or the correct interpretation. No, it's just the Bible. Look, if I can trust Jesus to save my soul and take me to heaven, then I ought to trust his advice that this is the book I ought to read. Now, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. We know this. We're going to look at these verses in a minute. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Do you understand? We have it. He says it's here. He says it's inspired. 2 Peter 1:21 says the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write it. And see, there are four great questions that humanity is trying to answer. They use philosophy, they use science, they use logic. Number one is, who am I and what am I worth? The second great question is, where did I come from? I want you to let that sink in now. Number three, why am I here? Am I an accident? Am I random chance and there is no purpose? Why am I here? Who am I and what am I worth? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? Those are the four great questions. Now, depending upon who you talk to, you're going to get some very wild answers. You're going to get answers. People, as many people as you talk to, they're going to have an opinion on these. So where do you personally find truth? Is it CNN? Is it Fox? Hold on now, I'm going to touch a little close to the nerve now. Right? Is it Fox? Really? No, it's God. Is it the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or, God help us, the Libertarians? I'm just joking. No. Is that where you go to find truth? Is it your parents? Is it your children? Where do you personally go to find truth? Is it the public school? Is it the Christian school? Is it the science? Is it social media? Is it what's popular today? Is it your newsfeed? Is everything you see on your newsfeed truth? I mean, everything that's written on the internet, right? Is it true? No. Okay, so with all the questions in life, what are the non-negotiables? The Bible says there are three. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Now, that's all the way in the back of the book. 1 John, back there before the book of the Revelation. Check it out. Number 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Look what the Bible reads. It says, there are three that bear record in heaven, three witnesses. There's the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. They witness what is true. But then the next verse says there's three witnesses that bear truth on the earth. Look at this. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These agree in one. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The water signifies the cleansing properties of the Holy Spirit. Where did I get that from? You know, when I read commentaries, they most never agree with each other. This is the one thing they all agreed on. It's talking about the Word of God and the way it cleanses us. And then the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, how it declares the love of God towards us. These are the witnesses God's given us. And why is that a big deal? Because the Bible tells us what is the essential truth. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the whole Bible is summed up in this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, the point of the Bible is Mankind needs a Savior, and God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. That's essential truth. The essential reason for life is in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 18 that says, He is the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, in all things that He might have preeminence. The essential reason for life in verse 16 says that everything was created and it was for His pleasure. He wanted it this way. The essential of our faith is that God wanted to redeem us. That's it. Hebrews 9, 22, all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It was always God's redemptive plan. We just finished the book of Luke, remember? We just went through the whole book from Christmas to Easter, from the resurrection, from the birth to the resurrection and ascension. And the whole point of it all was that He would die in our place, that God loved us so much we couldn't come to Him, He came to us. We couldn't be good enough, so He died in our place and paid the penalty for my sin. That cross in the middle was meant for Barabbas, but it was also my cross. Should have been me. So we're to know what the Bible says. That's what Joshua 1:8 tells us. We're to acknowledge it as truth, to admit that it's real, and we're to accept it as truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, Paul commends the Thessalonian believers, and he said that you received the word of God which ye heard of us. You received it not as the words of men. You didn't think it was something I created, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh in you. So we're to acknowledge that it is the word of God, that we're to receive it, but we're also to teach it to other people. Well, preacher, I've taken comparative religion classes, and I've looked at all these different religions. Well, great. Let me boil it down to you. Do you like simple stuff? Do you like things simple? I like things simple. I like things easy. You like easy? I wish I had a universal button from Staples where I go, well, that was easy. You know, I could just kind of a reset. I like simple things, right? You say, well, what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world? This question, who is Jesus? Everybody has an opinion, from the atheist to the agnostic to the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Hindu. They all have a belief. They all have an opinion of who Jesus is. But it's only Bible Christianity that says He is God. He is 100% man and 100% God, and that's how He could represent God to humanity and man to God, to divinity, and in Him reconcile God and man. That's who He is. Well, then why are there so many different churches that call themselves Christian? Well, let me boil that down for you too. It comes down to this one question. What authority is the Bible to you? Are there other writings that conflict with the Bible? And whenever they conflict with the Bible, you go with this stuff instead of the Bible? Do you have like a favorite internet preacher besides me? I know I'm everybody's favorite internet preacher. But you got some internet preacher, and when he says something that conflicts with the Bible, who has the final authority? The Bible or your buddy? You see, that's why there's so many different. What authority? Is it your church traditions? Look, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just going to be transparent with you. When I first trusted the Lord as my Savior, I had a lot of preconceived ideas about how God and how everything worked. And then I read the Bible. And I went, wow. I wasn't even close. Right? Because we come into this assuming certain things. And you're going to find this in your family. You're going to find this maybe in yourself. But you're definitely going to find this with your coworkers and your neighbors. They've heard something secondhand that sounded logical and spiritual, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. Look, I'm not being here to be ugly. I'm just being the truthful with you. What is the final authority in your life? Whose opinion cancels what the Bible says? Is it your opinion that matters more than what God thought? Is it your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your papa? What is the final? See, nothing matters until you answer this question. There's no point in teaching on creation or prophecy and the end times and what the Antichrist will be like and all the things you can expect to happen leading up to the rapture and things of that nature. It doesn't matter until you answer this question. Is the Bible true? is it the final authority? And you're like, Pastor Mix, which is my name for those who are visiting, I am not your final authority. I don't always get it right. Do you know I'll get excited and I'll be preaching and I'll be stomping and just throwing a fit up here and I'll be two or three sentences ahead in my mind and I'll say something foolish like Moses built the ark or you know what I'm saying and I'll just say something off the wall and you'd be like, well, that ain't right. Yeah, well, Pastor, then check the Bible. What does it say? What is the final authority? What overrules what Jesus said? Now listen, Jesus said, if you're my disciple, then keep my commandments. If you love me, then keep my commandments. Hold on now. If you're a Christian, it's Christ-like, Christ follower. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Seems kind of silly to trust the Lord to save you, but not trust the book he wrote. Isn't that kind of silly? Is it your convenience that trumps the Bible? Is it your logic? Is it your preferences? Well, you know what? I like your church preacher, but I'm into the new music, or I'm into this, just the old music, or I'm into this, or I'm into that, or it's too light in here, it's too dark in here, it's too cold in here, it's too hot in here. Yeah, we're sitting on pews, we're sitting on chairs, we're sitting, you know, there's carpet when there should be, you know. I mean, you can't please everybody, right? But what is actual Bible? And what is actual preference? You do not have to look like me, dress like me, get my hair cut to be right with Lord. Do you understand that? It's not about that. That's all. I just happen to look, my wife thinks I look best this way. So I dress this way. All right, because it's the only person I'm trying, it's the only woman. I only got room for one woman in my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. But nothing I say matters until you answer this question. What's the point? If what you're reading isn't true, and you can't trust it, then what's the point? See, I'm prepared to show you the proofs. I have a whole library full of stuff, and I'd be happy to sit down with you and lay it out. We'll look at the books. We'll look at the scholarship. We'll do it. There's internal evidences and external evidences that prove the Bible is, in fact, the actual words of God. But the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm ready to answer the questions. Well, how do you know it's the Word of God? How do you know it's really all inspired? How do you know we got the right books included and the right books excluded? How do you know that it was copied perfectly? How do you know it was translated perfectly? How do you know there's no mistakes or errors? And I'm ready to answer that. But no proof that I can show you is going to matter until you settle the question in your heart. Either God is or God isn't. Now, either God can or God can't. Either God did when he said he did, or God didn't, and he's a liar. Now, you got to settle it, y'all. Look, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand. You understand? You feeling me? You getting, how do you say that today? You don't say that anymore, do you, Joe? You feel me? No, are you tracking with me? Right? Okay, you guys got to help me. I don't talk like that. I guess I should. Either God is or he isn't. Now, either God can give you his word or he can't. And if he can't, he didn't, and we're wasting our time. Now, you got to decide. What is it you believe? Is God omnipotent? That means all powerful. How big is your God? Let's just talk about that for a second. How big is your God? Is he a shoebox about this big? And you put him on the shelf, and when you need him, you pop open the top and dump him out on your problem and go, here, fix it. Right? But otherwise, we put him back in the box, put the lid on, and put it away until we need him again. Is that how big your God is? I mean, you got to answer this question for me. I can't do it for you. My God's big. My God is big. And he is. I believe he is. He's proved himself to me. He is, and he can, and he did. For believers, the Word of God is the final authority, but I'm here to tell you it will mess up your theology. All of the preconceived ideas that I had growing up. Now, my parents loved me. It wasn't a perfect home, but I lived in a great home with great parents. I had a great childhood. But the truth is, I came into this whole idea believing that if I did this and I did this and I did this, well, then I'm naturally a shoo-in for heaven. None of that is true. It's only by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. None of us are worthy. None of us are sinless. It's because Christ came as a sinless man and took our place, and we are now credited when we believe with His righteousness. We're credited. So what does the Bible actually say? You realize you need to get to know this book. If you got one, open it up to the table of contents. Look at the table of contents. We all know that's at the beginning, right? That's like before page one, right? You get that. You with me? Okay. The Bible is not one book. It's 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years in three languages on three continents without pen and paper. It was sheepskin and a quill, and they didn't have a printing press, and you couldn't afford to have the other pieces when you were writing yours. And some of these guys were priests, some were doctor, lawyer, some were fishermen. One guy was a cowboy. Amos was a cowboy. Yeehaw, he really was. But there are no contradictions in the Bible. Anybody says to you, well, it's full of lies, go here, show me. Go on, help yourself. Here's a copy. Where's the contradictions? There are no contradictions in the Bible. That proves it came from God. And like I said, it declares to be the Word of God. I want you to take your Bible, go to the back of the book, and find 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy, I quoted it earlier, but I want you to break this down and unpack it. I hope to be a blessing to you now. Because I'm excited about teaching this summer. I'm excited about telling you about where the dinosaurs are in the Bible. Yeah, there's dinosaurs in the Bible. All the scientific stuff that's in the Bible that had been known in the Bible for 2,000, 3,000 years, but we didn't figure it out until recently. I'm happy to show you all that stuff. But none of it matters until you decide it's the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You realize that's the parts of the Bible I like and the parts of the Bible I don't like. You know, there's some parts of the Bible I don't like. Like, if you don't trust Christ, people who die and go to hell stay there for eternity and God never thinks of them again. That's kind of dark, but I didn't write the book. Those who trust Christ as their Savior, we go to heaven and we walk on streets of gold by a crystal sea in the shade of the tree of life, and we behold face to face our Savior for eternity in a place called the fullness of joy. I love that part. Right? That's a good one. I'm sure it's all inspired. It's all. Now look what it says. It's without error in its teaching and is profitable. It's good for you. For what? Doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get right. And then instruction in righteousness is how to stay right. And I'll look at that last verse, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect or mature or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You have everything you need. Do you realize that the Bible was actually inspired not thought by thought, but word for word? In Deuteronomy 6:6, in Deuteronomy 6:6, Moses, see, I didn't have it right there for a second. Moses wrote, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in that heart. You ever have a kid, you tell them something to do, and when you come back, they didn't do it the way you wanted it, and they repeat your command back to you differently than you gave it to them? But I thought you said, blah, blah. See, words have meaning. Words have meaning. So did God say what He meant? And did He, more importantly, mean what He said? See, Satan is in the business of changing the Word of God. See, he wants to change the meanings so he can change the entire and shift the entire understanding. He creates counterfeits. He's a liar. That's what Jesus said about him. He's a liar and the father of all lies. Thus, he has created counterfeit gospels. So if it's important to God, and if He bothered to write it down. Now, if you ever think about that for just a second, if God bothered to write it down, how important do you think that is? Huh? Isn't that cool? You think about it. I never really looked at it that way. Yeah. He said that everything else is to be compared to it. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah, Old Testament, just to the right of dead center. Find Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. God is proclaiming that His Word is the standard of truth by which all other sources are to be measured against. It's the straight edge. It's the plumb line. It's the thing that tells you whether it's like a level, whether it's vertical or not. Look at Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they, who's that? Anybody else outside the Bible? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Everything else is to be compared to the Scripture. And if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it did not come from God. Has it ever dawned on you that nothing dawns on God? Has it ever dawned on you that God never has to correct Himself? Does it ever dawn on you when the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not? He doesn't have to change. He made this world. He made it, and we messed it up. So He created a way for us to be redeemed, to fix the problem with mankind. Why is the world messed up? Why do people get sick? Why do people die? That's Genesis chapter 3. Well, how do I fix this? Genesis 4 to the end of the Bible. It all covers it. So if God says, I need you to measure everything against it rather than you be the standard and try to fit the Bible where it works for you. I mean, do you live your life like God's word doesn't apply to you? Do you have a kid in your home like that? You know what I'm saying. You people who have a multi-child home, do you have one of those little rascals who acts like your commands don't apply to them? Wow, everybody's got perfect kids but Pastor Mix. Oh, okay, I understand. Let me free you. Your name's on the mortgage. Right? Oh, gosh, did you not know that? It's your name, not your kid. You are the one leading the home. God says, my word is true. Measure everything to it. Well, we have copies of copies of copies. And Pastor, how do you know it's not been lost or it's been mistranslated or messed up somewhere along the line? Because God promised to preserve it. Take your Bible, go to Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6. Now you need to help me. Let me help you now. Either God is or God isn't. And if God isn't, then we're wasting our time. Let's pull up the pews, throw down sawdust, and turn this into a roadhouse and sell liquor. Right? I mean, if God isn't, then we're wasting our time. Nobody else believes that but me, Brother Jim. Do you believe that? Right? Either God is or He isn't. Either God can give us His word and take care of it and keep it straight, or He can't. And if He can't, then He isn't, and we're wasting our time. Look, you can't play fast and loose with the truth. You can't do that. Either it is or it isn't. So look what it says. The words of the Lord are pure. Now, either they are pure or they're not. You don't have a more pure. Pure means pure. Nobody else believe? I'm telling you. Are you with me? Do you need a dictionary? Pure means what? It's pure. There are no impurities. You can't have a more pure. Either it is or it ain't. It's like being a little bit pregnant. No, you either are or you ain't. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right. The words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. So what's the extent of preservation? The actual words God spoke. The agent of preservation, the guy who does the preserving, is not you. Nor is it scholar whoever. It's God who promised to preserve it. Now, either He can or He can't. And the period of preservation. Well, you know, I understand. You know, first couple hundred years, I'm sure it was straight. Haven't you ever played the telephone game? That's what they always say to me. Wait a minute. We're talking about God who is all-powerful. Now, if He ain't all-powerful, He's not God. He either is or He isn't. So, it's the words, it's God who does the preserving, and He said He would do it forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, and the word of our God. But the word of our God shall stand forever, Isaiah 40, verse 8 says. Well, how do we know we translated it correctly? Okay, help me out. Do you think God has a better grasp of Hebrew than you do? Do you think God knows English better than you do? I had to go to school for it. Anybody else have to go to school for it? Would you consider yourself an English expert? Huh? Either God is omniscient or all-knowing or God isn't. You're telling me the all-powerful, omnipotent, all-present, out eternal, outside of time, God can't bring His word when He said He was gonna into English for you. We're wasting our time. See, there's no point in talking about creation and showing you the evidences, scientific and otherwise. There's no point in talking about, is so-and-so, what's the Antichrist going to do? Where's the Antichrist now? What's going on right now in our world? There's no point in talking about it if the Word of God is just some book like Aesop's Fables. Does God know Greek and Hebrew better than our modern-day scholars? Yes. Do you think somebody with a 3-year degree in Greek knows more about Greek than God does? They play like they do. That's how come the Bible industry went and became, you know, $500 million. Does God understand human languages better than we do? Is God able to translate the Bible? Yes. I didn't say re-inspire it. I said bring it into the English language. He's able to preserve it. Now I'm able to show, I have the internal evidences, I have the external evidences, but if you don't believe God can, then no proof I have is going to convince you. So either God is or He isn't. Either God can or He can't. And either God did when He said He did or He isn't and He didn't and He can't. Now the Bible goes on to talk about people who remove from the Word of God and people who add to the Word of God as being cursed, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, if you're interested in looking that up. The reason God doesn't play with this is because the Word of God is essential to salvation. Go to the back of the book, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Look what the Bible reads. Being born again. How? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What are you talking about? By the Word of God. That's what it says here. Look at that. Verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. Being born again. How? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God. We're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, it's essential. Why believe in the God who saves and not the book He gave us that tells us about the God who saves? It's essential for faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We grow our faith, our confidence in God as we read the Bible. It's essential for experiencing God. As you read the Bible, He reveals Himself. He reveals His will for you. He reveals His plan and purpose for the ages. It's essential from, this book is essential to keep us from sin. Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, verse 11 says. It's essential for directing our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It tells me where I am and the condition I'm in, and it's a light unto my path. It tells me where I'm going and what's ahead of me. Is the Bible the final authority in your life? Well, I guess so. Okay, cool. I'll take that. What trumps the Bible? Do you understand what that means? What takes precedent over the Bible? What is it that you will allow in your life to cancel the authority of Scripture? That's what Trump means, is to take precedent over, to cancel. So what cancels God's Word? Your convenience, your worship style, your entertainment. How about your unforgiveness? Well, you don't know what they did to me. God says, you're to forgive them like I forgave you. How did God forgive you? You know, when God forgave you, He not only forgave you, He wiped the slate clean and doesn't even remember it happened. That's how God forgave you, boys and girls. What about your anger? What about your bitterness? Well, you don't know how I was raised. You don't know what they did to me. Yeah, you don't know what they did to Jesus. He was innocent. He was arrested unjustly. He was tried and convicted in a kangaroo court. They whipped him and they beat him. They took the beard, ripped the beard from his face. They spit on him. They beat him unrecognized. Dude, I know some of you have had a real hard life. Some of you have gone through some abuse that's just ungodly and satanic and wicked. Just like you can't measure darkness, you can only measure light and the absence of it. You can't measure evil. You can only measure the presence and absence of God's influence. Is the Bible still true if your spouse leaves you and betrays you? Come on, let's get real. Is the Bible still true if your kids grow up and decide to live contrary to it? You know how many kids do that just to do this to their parents? That's dumb. But they won't figure it out till they're older. Is it still true if your favorite pastor goes into sin? Is it still true then? Is it still true if your baby dies? Jesus said it was true. God said he elevated it above his own name, or his own name. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you continuing in his word? Now, it says in Acts chapter 2 that when they heard the gospel from Peter's preaching, they got saved. They realized they were a sinner and they couldn't get to heaven by being good. Even the really super religious ones turned to God and called upon him and said, I believe that your son died and rose again. Forgive me. Be my Savior. And then it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine daily. Every day they were reading and studying and learning. Has the word of God become a daily part of your life? Well, you know, I'm busy. Hey, I invented the concept. I know what you're saying. Right? We're all busy. But men seek for wisdom in all sorts of places. But if it contradicts the Bible, where do you stand? Are you aligning your life to the Word of God, or are you justifying your rebellion? You see, I'm not here to make you mad. I'm just asking you to think for yourself. Why believe in a God who will save you but not read in the book he gave you? Why believe in it when God, when he wrote it down so we'd have it? We're to avoid teachers who teach contrary. You see, the Bible will prove itself to you. And I just want to say it's historically reliable. Where the Bible said people lived, archaeologists have proven it. We have found the Tower of Babel. We have found the walls of Jericho falling flat. We have found Noah's Ark. The Turkish government built a welcome center on the site and called it Neogumshi, the Noah's Big Boat. Yeah, that wasn't in your history book. They also found the five cities of the plain covered in ash from being rained brimstone on. It's also scientifically realistic. 2,000 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, Isaiah wrote the earth was round and that the universe was a three-dimensional space. How did he know? There are dinosaurs in Job 40 and 41. The Ica stones in Ica, Peru are carvings of ancient people riding dinosaurs. That wasn't in your history book. We're going to look at those pictures. The water cycle is found in Ecclesiastes 1:7. George Washington was bled to death because they thought the poison of strep throat, or what, the bad air that he had, was in his blood. So they bled him to death while the Bible was on his nightstand saying, the life of your flesh is in your blood. 3,600 years before they cut him open to do that, the Bible said it's your blood that keeps you alive. Sir Robert Cook was inspired to track the ocean currents because the Bible said in Isaiah 43:16 that there were paths in the sea. The Bible says in Jeremiah that there's so many stars you cannot count them. 1 Corinthians 15, written 2,000 years ago, said that every star is different from the other and no two stars are alike. How did they know? See, the Bible proved itself to be personally relevant. The first two chapters tells you who you are and why you're here. The third chapter tells you with what's wrong with this world and why it's messed up. And chapter 4 through the end tells you how to fix it. But it's a question of authority. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just want to... Either God is or God isn't. I can't make you believe. I can't make you trust it. But if God promised he'd keep it for you, and he wrote it down for you, and you have it in your own language, what excuse do we have not to study it? Other than we think we're of greater importance and authority than God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The choice is ours to make, my brothers and sisters. The choice is ours. Will we trust his word? Will we read it and ask God to help us with it? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now today I've talked about being born again and being saved. I've talked about how you can know tonight, today, right now, you can know if you died, you can go to heaven. The Bible says you can know. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We are sinners, every last one of us. And because we're sinners, the wages of sin is death. That's what Romans 6:23 says. But the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Well, listen to me now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There is no excuse not to know Christ as your Savior. When God said it and he offers it to you for free, that all who will come and just confess with your mouth, just admit to God you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you because you believe he died and rose again. That's it. We're trusting in what he did on Calvary to pay for our sins, his blood. But now that you're born again, I know many of you have heard your salvation testimony. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, are we living like God's word don't apply to us? It's not about ignorance, it's about willfulness. It's not about what we don't know, it's about not being willing or interested in finding out what the one person who loves us more than anybody ever could said to us directly. It's about willfulness. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, we ask God that you would speak to every heart and every soul. We ask God today that if there's one right now that would like to trust Christ and know for sure heaven's their home, Father, may they pray and ask you to forgive them because they believe you died for them. And for us, your children, Father, help us to make this decision, to just set this in our heart that as we learn your word, we're going to accept it for what it is, and that's your word, and it's true. Let it become the foundation of our life and the understanding of what's true. May all things in our lives be measured to it. And Father, while I was preaching, maybe there's a burden that's manifested in here today. Maybe, God, there's somebody whose heart's broken over a relationship or a career change. Father, I pray you'd comfort today as they seek you, and you'd forgive us where we have failed you. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Mike comes, Ms. Mix is going to play and sing as we prepare for baptism. There's people here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Mike.
Amen. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the invitation music, this is your time to come forward and make things right with God. Come up to the altar and pray. If you've got a burden, now is that time. You've heard the message this morning from the pastor. Is God speaking to your heart this morning? Is there something you need to get right with him today? Won't you come at this moment? Make your way forward. We'll pray with you. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, now is that time to come to know him.
I see broken, but you see beautiful.
Some have come. Won't you come also?
And you're helping
me. There's no reason to hold back. Others are praying for you at this moment. We're praying that your burdens will be lifted in this service. We're praying that you will come to know Christ as your Savior.
Piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
Do you feel a knock at your heart's door? Is the Spirit talking to you this morning? There is no reason to hold back. Won't you answer that call?
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
In our lesson this morning, Paul was witnessing to a governor, a ruler of the city for 2 years.
I am clean.
And he said, I've heard what you said, but go away. I'll be saved in a different season. He trembled at the words that Paul spoke with him. He felt the Spirit of God convict him, but yet he turned him away and closed the door. Don't close the door this morning. Won't you answer that call?
Beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny.
Won't you come?
'Cause you're restoring me.
He's a healer of broken hearts. He can restore your fellowship with him. If you know him and you wandered away, there's restoration in coming back, renewing your heart, renewing your mind, fellowshipping with God on a more personal basis as we live our daily lives. Are our lives a testimony and witness to those around us, or do they not see Christ in us at all?
There's nothing too dirty.
Won't you come and make that right?
That you can't make worthy.
There's nothing too dirty we've done. God sees everything, knows everything, sees our actions, our thoughts, and our words. But his arms are open to bring us back, to forgive us. Won't you claim that joy and fellowship with him today?
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean.
We are free today.
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice.
Don't let the bonds of sin hold you
your
back.
Your blood flowed red and made
he
me white.
He wants us to live in freedom.
My dirty
he wants to restore
rags
our joy of our soul.
Purified.
Hey, we are his creation. He wants to fellowship with each and every one of us. Won't you come? We'll extend our invitation just for one more moment. Please listen to the words of Miss Sarah as she sings this invitation hymn.
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white.
If you need to speak to someone after this service, we're available. I'm available. Pastor's available. Don't leave this building today without making things right. Thank you, Miss Sarah.